Thank you very much, Gary. It's been my privilege throughout the week to speak at the Children's Mission. We've certainly had a tremendous blessing. We've known the Lord's presence and help each night. I'd like to thank you for sending the children along each evening to hear the word of the Lord. The greatest possession that anyone can have is a testimony that they're saved by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And I want to tell you tonight about the marvellous grace of God that has wonderfully changed my life. Just as I listened to the young people singing there, I have to say it was tremendous to listen to the young people, and may the Lord richly bless you young people. But it brought me back to my teenage years to think that I wasn't singing the praises of the Lord, that I wouldn't have been found in church, but rather would have been found living in the world and in sin to my shame. Brought up in a good home, brought up where at a young age I heard the gospel, had the privilege of a praying mother. When I was just 8 years of age, my mother got converted. Of course, she didn't smoke, drink, swear. She didn't live an outward immoral life, but my mother knew that she needed Christ as Saviour, and she came to know the Lord Jesus. Sadly, I broke my parents' hearts. My testimony is how that I went into sin and into the world to my shame. The Word of God says to honour thy father and thy mother, and I must confess that I'm totally ashamed that I broke my parents' hearts. Yet I rejoice that my parents prayed for me, and I rejoice that my mum, that she had the joy of seeing me come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't, of course, until after I had been living all recklessly in sin. Boys and girls, can I warn you tonight of the dangers of the world? When I was just 11 years of age, that's when I began to smoke. Then I began to drink alcohol. Further and further down the road I went until my whole body was virtually wrecked from drink and from drugs. At the age of 19, you would think, we've just been married the year before, having a little baby girl, just a few weeks old, you'd think you'd have everything to live for. Boys and girls and young people here, men and women, I wanted to die. That was because I had no hope in life. It seemed as if I was the cause of everybody's unhappiness. I was the reason why there was so much pain and so much heartache. And I kept on thinking, you know, there's no hope for me in this world. And at the age of 19, I actually tried to take my own life. Yet I rejoiced that whilst I had given up on life, that Christ hadn't given up on me. And I rejoiced that God hears and God answers prayer. And even at that time, people were praying that God would hear and answer prayer. I went into hospital not only that time for that drugs overdose, but a few months later I became very seriously ill, and I went into hospital. I had many, many operations. I stopped counting at number 28, well in the region of 60 or 70. And each time God was saying, speaking to me about the brevity of life, that life is brief, it's short. Yet I wasn't listening. Praise God, it was in hospital in August of 1989, and my life changed and changed forever. That day, I had been very seriously ill. In fact, I was awaiting to go for a more major surgery. I was waiting to be taken to go down to the theatre to have very major surgery. Whilst I was waiting there, I couldn't help but think about life. And how I'd made a mess of life. And how, as I looked around in life, there just seemed to be nothing but blackness and darkness and despair, and I was just ruined. I came to realize that one day I would die, and that after death comes the judgment. And I realized that I was sinful and I would meet God. And I can tell you that day the fear of God gripped me. The very fact of the thought of meeting God in eternity, it gripped my soul. And that day, there lying in a hospital bed, I simply called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, and praise God in calling, He saved me. How do I know? Well, I was there when it happened. The Bible tells me so. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do I know? You ask my wife, she'll tell you that day she got a new husband, and praise God for that. My wife got a new husband. Little girl got a new father. And I can say truly, how good is the God we adore. God has blessed me above all measure. And I can tell you that throughout the years, that there have been times of sickness, times of pain, but God ever remaineth faithful, a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And praise God, He's still answering prayer. Even last week, I was quite ill during the meetings, took ill, and prayer was offered. And praise God, the Lord raised me up, and I'm here tonight in answer to prayer, and I want to thank you for praying for me, praying for us as a family. God has blessed us. To God be the glory. May the Lord be glorified.
Amen. Well, it's good to be here, and boys and girls, I'm watching because I see lots of boxes of sweets down here, and I don't think there's any for me. But if I see someone misbehaving, I say to Mr. Philip, well, don't give that boy or that girl a box, I take them home with me. So I'll be getting one. So you need to be sitting up and listening very carefully and to what we're going to say tonight. And I just want to preach the gospel tonight, boys and girls. It's just using three questions in the Bible. Now, there are many questions that we could look at in the Bible, but I want to take a look at three of them this evening. And I don't know if they're up on that screen or not. Maybe they're not. Oh, they are. Amen. The first question can be found in the book of Genesis when you go home this evening, and in the third chapter, and in the verse 9. And this is what it says. It says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now, boys and girls, when you read the Bible, and you take up this book and you begin to read it, the book of Genesis, it lets you know everything about how this world came into existence. God made all things in 6 days, and on the Sabbath, or on the seventh, God rested. He not only made all things on the earth, but boys and girls, we are told how you and I were created. We are told how God took a handful of dust, and from that handful of dust, boys and girls, He made a man. He then put him into a deep sleep, and He took a rib from his side, and He made him a woman. The man was called Adam, and the woman was called Eve. And boys and girls, God placed Adam in the garden. Can anybody tell me the name of that garden that God placed him in? Yes? The what? The Garden of Eden. And when God placed Adam in that garden, boys and girls, He placed him there to keep it, to look after it. But He told him something. He says, "Look, Adam, do you see everything in this garden? There's fruit on the trees. You may eat of every tree if you please, except for one. And there's one tree in the midst of the garden, and you're not allowed to eat of it. For the day that thou would eat thereof, Adam, you will surely die." And boys and girls, for a period of time, Adam and Eve remained in the garden. Up until one day that Eve was confronted by a serpent, by Satan. And he confronted her at the very tree that they were forbidden to eat. And he twisted God's word. He told her that they wouldn't die. And as Eve listened to the devil confronting her in the garden, eventually she succumbed to his temptation. And she reached out and she took of the forbidden fruit and she ate it. And her husband coming onto the scene, she passed the fruit to him and he ate of the forbidden fruit. And boys and girls, in doing so, he broke the commandment of God. He failed. He faltered. Sin entered into his heart and entered into his life. And boys and girls, the first thing that Adam did when he disobeyed God's commandment, he ran and he hid from God. he knew he had done wrong. And boys and girls, God came into the garden in the cool of the day, and when he came to the garden, he seen Adam hiding. And he asked the question. He said, "Adam, where art thou?" Boys and girls, sin had now entered into the world, and death by sin. And because of what Adam did, boys and girls, in the Garden of Eden, you and I have been affected. For the Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And boys and girls, listen. If we continue in sin and die in our sin, we shall never be able to go to heaven. So the question not only is asked, as in the scripture verse in book of Genesis to Adam, but I want to ask you that same question tonight. Where art thou? Are you still in your sin? Or are you one of those children this week who have come and repented of your sin and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Savior? But there's not only the question, where art thou? But the second question I want to ask tonight can be found in the New Testament. And this question is found in the book of Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. And it's asked of wise men. And the question they ask, boys and girls, is this. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, when they're asking the question, where is he? The question has got to be asked by us, who is the he that the question is referring to? Well, boys and girls, these wise men seen his star in the east. And the person that they were seeking for was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why had the Lord Jesus Christ to come to earth? Because the Bible tells me that it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all might come to a knowledge of the truth. And in order for sinful men and women and boys and girls to be saved and to be reconciled to God and to be made ready for heaven, there had to be one to come in order to pay the supreme sacrifice for sin. And the only one who could pay the supreme sacrifice for sin was none other than a person called the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger. He was sent to earth from heaven. Do you know why? For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. It is he that these wise men were seeking for, because they wanted to find him in order that they might worship him. Where is he? But boys and girls, listen. Jesus Christ came to earth for a reason. He came to die. He came to give his life's blood in order that you and I might be saved. And boys and girls, listen, we read very little of the Lord, bar when he was a child and when he was 12 years of age. But it wasn't until he was 30 that he began his public ministry. And at the age of 33, he ended up in Jerusalem. He was heading to the cross. And boys and girls, he was going there to die for you and for me. But while he was there, listen. Who's talking? While he was there, he came face to face with a man whose name was Pilate. And as Pilate stood face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, he asked a question. The multitude were looking his blood, but Pilate stood face to face with the Saviour of the world. And the question he asked was this: what then? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? David, get the question up, please. What shall I do then with Jesus? You see, young people, what you do with Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, will determine whether you're going to heaven or hell. For Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. He said, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And boys and girls, listen, if you want to be in heaven, you must come and receive Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You must be willing to repent of your sin. You must be willing today to come and receive Christ as your Saviour and your Lord. For as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. And Pilate stood face to face with the Saviour of the world, and he rejected him. The crowd cried for his blood. Let him be crucified. And my Bible tells me that Pilate turned to a basin and he washed his hands and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. And boys and girls, listen. They led Jesus away to the hill of Golgotha, and there Jesus suffered and died for you and for me. There he hung on that middle tree in order that you and I might be saved. And boys and girls, listen, you have to answer this question tonight. What will I do with Jesus? Will you receive him? Or will you reject him? Will you trust him as your Lord and as your Savior? Will you make Jesus Christ your Savior tonight? Listen, in closing, what you do with Jesus just now, if you receive him, one day when you die, he'll receive you. If you reject him, he'll reject you. It all determines with the decision you make this evening. Adam was asked by God, where art thou? The wise men asked King Herod, where is he? And Pilate asked the Son of God, or ask the crowd, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate turned his back, rejected his hope of salvation, and went out to a lost eternity. Boys and girls, don't be foolish tonight. Come and receive Jesus as your Savior. Come and ask him into your heart. And know of a surety in your life tonight, even as a young child, by simple faith, that all is well with your soul, not only for time, but for God's eternity. Mom and Dad in the meeting tonight, listen. I'm seeking to make it as simple as I can. Where art thou tonight? Where is he in your life? What then will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? For just as we speak to the children, in their young and in their tender life, you're a little older. You have heard the message for many a year, but up until this point, you're still a Christ rejecter. You're still only one heartbeat away from a Christless eternity. And my Bible tells me that now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Why not come and trust Christ tonight? Know Him personally. Know Him as Savior. And prepare to meet the Lord. That's your decision. That's something you have to do. I want to thank you for listening. If we can be any help to you, maybe God's speaking to your heart. You're saying, I need to answer this question tonight. I need to make Jesus my Savior. I would like to talk to you, sir. Would you feel free to do that? That's why we're here. The night I got saved, I needed someone to help me. I needed someone to talk to. And a big man took me to one side and led me to Jesus Christ. If I can help you tonight, I will. But I can only help you if you ask. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. No talking. Loving Father, what a place to finish. What will I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Lord, we're at the place of decision. And Lord, we boys and girls have to act by simple faith the very same way as adults have, in trusting Thee as our Savior. And I pray tonight that they'll answer the question, that they'll not reject Him like Pilate, but, O God, that they might receive Him into their hearts tonight as their own and personal Savior, and that each and every one of them might leave this building tonight washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you, Lord, for the listening ear. Open hearts, I pray, and give deciding grace just now. In Jesus' name, Amen.